I expect that when you think of the Lord Jesus, you usually picture him as he was, or as you think he was, when he walked the earth. A kind face, longish hair, beard, clothed in a long flowing robe and sandals, as paintings and films have depicted him. Fair enough. But that's not how he is now. When he came to the earth, he'd laid aside his glory, except for that moment when his disciples, Peter, James, and John, saw him transfigured on the mountain with his face and clothes shining brightly. When he ascended from the earth to heaven, 40 days after his resurrection from the dead, and returned to heaven, he received back his glory as God. And now in the Apostle John's vision of him, which has just been read to us, John saw him in his glory again. No wonder John fell at his feet. So will we one day, when we die and meet Jesus, if he hasn't returned first, when we see him in all his glory. We say in the creeds, we believe that Jesus will come again to judge the living and the dead. And in the Nicene Creed, which we joined in saying just now, we add the words, with glory. He will come again with glory to judge the living and the dead. And the vision John received gives us some idea of how he will appear that day with glory. Some idea of how he will be when we meet with him face to face. Chapters 2 and 3 of the book of Revelation are, as we've heard, seven letters dictated to John by Jesus for the seven churches in seven towns in what today is southwest Turkey. Then it was part of the Roman Empire. And Andrew has given us a map of them in the inside of the handout which you have. Please turn to it now, because I'll be wanting to refer to it. Andrew has also referred to David Nunn's DVD of the seven churches, which I hope will be on sale today at the back. Is it? Perhaps not. It has been. I hope will be again. Anyhow, I warmly commend it, and you might like to ask David for a copy. It doesn't cost very much. It contains, as the sheets here do, much background information to help us understand the letters, much which I haven't time to include in my sermon this morning. I'll also leave you, of course, to read the background that Andrew has so kindly, so helpfully written in the handouts. Thank you very much, Andrew, for all the time and care you've taken in doing this. Now please look at what Andrew has written under the map, the heading, Remember There Is a Pattern to Each of the Letters. As he says, each letter has a set pattern. Notice first the fourth bullet point, an exhortation beginning, He who has an ear. For in every one of the letters, the words occur. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. We have ears. In other words, these seven letters have been written, recorded for our benefit as well. So let us hear and understand them, and note and follow the instruction given in them. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Back to Andrew's first bullet point, a description of Christ, the author. Each description at the beginning of each of the letters has special relevance to each particular church, and David Nunn tells us more about that in his DVD. The second bullet point, then a word of approval or commendation of the church in question. There are words of approval or understanding for every church apart from the last, the seventh at Laodicea. More on that later. Jesus knows what's going on in every church, then, since, and now here at All Saints. Members of several of the seven churches were commended for suffering for their faith. Some are commended as well for unspecified good deeds or good works. Some are commended for resisting false teaching. The Lord Jesus knows what is going on, and he commends where he can, so encourages the churches where he can. But third point on here, next a message of correction, except in the case of Smyrna and Philadelphia, followed by a special command or an encouragement. Yes, there are corrections and admonishments for five of the seven churches. The first church at Ephesus had lost its first love for Jesus. The third church at Pergamum had some members holding to false teaching and immoral practices. The fourth church at Thyatira were tolerating a false prophetess who was promoting immoral behavior. The fifth church at Sardis had the reputation for being alive. There was activity, but as far as Jesus was concerned, it was dead. The seventh church at Laodicea was lukewarm. And each of these churches received a warning from Jesus. The church at Ephesus was told, repent and do the things you did at first. Otherwise, it was warned that Jesus would remove your lampstand from its place. In other words, it would die. The church at Pergamum is also called to repent. Otherwise, Jesus said, he would fight against it with the sword of my mouth. In other words, it too would suffer judgment. Those in the fourth church at Thyatira who followed the unrepentant false prophetess in their midst, named as Jezebel, were also warned that they would die. The majority of those in Sardis, the fifth church, were also called to repent, in this case for their incomplete deeds. Otherwise, Jesus would, he said, repeating his warning in Matthew's gospel, come like a thief, and you will not know at what time I will come to you. Finally, the lukewarm church at Laodicea were told Jesus was about to spit them out of his mouth. Far from being rich, as they thought they were called to repent of their failure, to realize that they were wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. But Jesus spoke some most memorable words to them, which have been such a blessing to many since. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in. The final point in Andrew's 5, finally a promise to those who obey the message. A promise to those who overcome. In other words, to those who obey Jesus' instructions here, who win the battle over the enemy, Satan, the devil. And in each case there is a gift, differing each time. Each gift a wonderful promise for the life beyond the grave. The right to eat of the tree of life. Not to be hurt at all in the second death. given a white stone with a new name on it, given authority over the nations, dressed in white, made a pillar in the temple of God with God's name written on it, given the right to sit with Jesus on his throne. What wonderful gifts! Alleluia! He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. What does Jesus say to the Church of All Saints, Swanage, here today, to us as members of it, or to you if you are a visitor here today? Firstly, the letters show he knows our church situation. I know, he said to each church. He knows our problems. He knows our opportunities. He knows our resources. And he knows the same for us as individuals. He knows our situations. He knows our problems. He knows our gifts. He knows our opportunities. He wrote to the sixth church, the church at Philadelphia, that he'd placed before them an open door that no one can shut. He knows the open doors in front of you or me, our opportunities to serve him, our opportunities to speak for him. He said to them, I know where you live. He knows the open doors in front of us as a church, open doors to be entered. Secondly, he not only knows our situations as a church and as individuals, he knows our good points and our achievements. He commended the churches where there were things to commend. He encouraged them. Blessed is he or she who hears the encouragement of Jesus. Maybe you hear his voice through a fellow Christian, or maybe Jesus speaks directly to your heart. If you are obedient to him, showing that you truly love him, then I believe you will be encouraged by him in some way, by other people or directly by Jesus. Others may not know what you do, but Jesus knows. What really matters in life is not letters after your name or others' rewards for long service and good conduct, but words from Jesus. I know your deeds, your love and faith. But thirdly, he knows the things we would rather he did not know, or at least did not mention. You have forsaken your first love for me, he wrote to the church at Ephesus. And he called them to repent and do the things you did at first. Are we as enthusiastic for Jesus as we were when we first became Christians? He wrote to the church at Sardis, I know your deeds. You have a reputation for being alive, but you are dead. Some activities in some churches are evidently not necessarily the activities that Jesus wants. A church or an individual Christian may be active, but is it and are they doing what Jesus wants? Christian may be energetic, but is he or she serving the Lord or serving his or her own reputation or his or her need to be needed? But the one thing that affected at least three of the churches was false teaching linked to immoral behavior. At least it was written of the church at Ephesus that they hated the practices of the Nicolaitans, whatever they were, which Jesus said he also hated. But the church at Pergamon had some who held to the teaching of the Nicolaitans. Some there were involved in sexual immorality, as were some at Thyatira. Jesus told these latter two churches they were too tolerant of sexual wrongdoing. And that's certainly a warning that churches in Britain and some other countries need to hear today. A warning for individual Christians too. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Finally, was the one church for which Jesus had no words of commendation for any member, the church at Laodicea. They were lukewarm, neither refreshingly cold or warmingly hot. Half-hearted Christianity is not pleasing to Jesus. I'm about to spit you out of my mouth, he said. I don't think all saints taken as a whole is lukewarm. But it's a question for ourselves as individuals. Are we hot for Jesus or just lukewarm? He said to the lukewarm Christians, be earnest and repent. Be earnest and repent. Have you opened the door of your life to the Lord Jesus, or is he still standing knocking outside? If you open the door of your life to Jesus, he has promised to come into your life. His Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit of Jesus, will come into you. You'll be born again by his Spirit. There's no greater joy than the joy to become a wholehearted follower of Jesus. So may I encourage you to read through these seven short letters with Andrew's notes beside you, and ask Jesus to show you how they apply to you, and pray about it. For Jesus said, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Let us pray. Let us reflect for a few moments, first of all, on the commendations we've received, either from others or directly from Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that you are a God of encouragement. And yet we thank you too that every good gift that we have is one that has come from you, not ours to boast about, but rather your gift for us to use. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. But now let's reflect on those warnings that received by some of the seven churches. Warnings about first love. Warnings about toleration of immoral practices. Warning about being lukewarm. Let's reflect on these. Warning too about being active for the wrong reasons. And deeds which were incomplete. Give us grace, Lord, we pray, to put right what needs to be put right, to return, if we need, to our first love for you. To complete whatever you would have us complete. Search our minds and hearts, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Finally, let's reflect on the open doors in front of us, the opportunities we have for service and for speaking for Jesus. Doors we need to walk through, tasks to be taken up, words to be spoken. Lord, guide us and equip us, we pray, by your Holy Spirit, that we may do your will here on earth as it is in heaven. We ask this too in Jesus' name. Amen. And finally, we thank you, Heavenly Father, those wonderful rewards promised to those who overcome. Thank you for each of them. Help us to reflect on those too as we reread the letters. What you have promised for those who follow you, love you, obey you. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.